Hey everyone, welcome to the Got 10 Minutes podcast, the podcast for product teams. Brought to you by samelogic.com, the platform for product idea validation. Today we speak with Matt Meeks, who is a senior UX designer at Jitterbit. Hey Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So Matt, I'm really interested in your background. I'd love to understand like how you got into the industry and also where you're from, what motivations or inspirations you had that kind of pushed you into being a UX designer.
Sure. So a little over 30 years ago, I graduated from college and started working as a graphic designer in more of the traditional marketing identity space. Over time, I actually ended up kind of getting more and more interested in experience design. The company that I was working for the longest did a lot of trade show and exhibit design. And as part of that, not only just the human experience of walking through a space and interacting with objects, but digital experiences in terms of, you know, kiosks and presentations and that sort of thing. And then in around 2000, I joined an internet startup, and one of my jobs working there was to do interactive learning and training. So I became even more interested in it. And then a couple of years later, left and started my own company, and just over time became more and more involved in UX design and product design. And then eventually in 2013, I decided to go back to the corporate world and became a UX designer full time. I find the problems to be a lot more challenging and interesting than just straight up graphic design. And in particular, I really enjoy enterprise software design because the use cases are really complex and the software is really complex. So it's much more challenging and interesting.
So with the graphic design, what kind of graphic design did you do? Was it more pop art related? What exactly was it?
A lot of corporate, very corporate stuff. So the companies that I worked for, because I live in the Denver metro area, we had a lot of oil and gas and gold mining and technology. So software, stuff like that. So a lot of marketing brochures, websites, high tech companies that needed logos and things like that.
Awesome. And when it comes on to bridging that to enterprise software design, and as you said, rightly said, it's very complex dealing with like the demands of like different stakeholders in the pipeline and everything. How do you see that experience that you had in graphic design come over to help you with UX design?
Sure. A lot of it is, the design skills in general of being able to, create visual design and telling stories with the design, much like you would with a marketing brochure. But the stories are much more complex in UX design. And so I really enjoy that aspect, but also in being able to work with, various stakeholders and sometimes very disparate stakeholders in terms of, you have executives and you have marketing people and you have, the end customer. And so being able to work with all of those different kinds of people and come to a consensus and solve problems that make everybody happy has really played a huge part in my career as a UX designer.
So for those who don't know Jitterbit, what is Jitterbit exactly?
Jitterbit is an iPaaS, which is an integration platform as a service. So for anyone who might be familiar with, Salesforce, for example, purchased MuleSoft. And so they're a similar type of service, but we are, much smaller. We integrate different types of your software products. So if you had, a really common use case would be you have Salesforce and you want to convert your Salesforce leads to NetSuite contacts, you can easily do that and customize how that gets done, as well as, transform things into other in multiple sources and targets. So it's a pretty complex process, and it's a rapidly growing industry. So it's pretty interesting.
Interesting. And when it comes on to the complexities around that, I guess we could kind of talk about how designs are kind of one done, and then how feedback is actually gotten on designs, and then how that gets handed off to engineering, and then eventually put in production. Like, what's that process like?
We start with having the product manager and myself work together on figuring out requirements. It usually, the feature would be decided on by the product manager. And in many cases, they'll write requirements and then get feedback from engineering and UX. And mm-hmm. we'll go back and forth until we have a pretty good understanding. I will take those requirements and turn those into hopefully low fidelity prototypes and wireframes. It kind of depends on the scope of the project. In some cases, we go right to high fidelity. And we have a really good feedback process of not only with the product manager, but we have a weekly meeting where product designs are reviewed by engineering, as well as the entire product management team and the head of product management. And we can discuss issues and ask for feedback and make changes and that sort of thing. And then we also have a really good crew of sales engineers, as well as professional service people who use our product on behalf of our customers. And so we have this kind of built-in user base that we can reach out to as the next step for feedback. And then we are increasing our efforts to actually contact our customers and people who are outside of the company but use the product and get their feedback as that kind of final stage to make sure that we're not missing the mark and that we're serving all of their needs.
Mm. And when it comes on to that product critique process where engineering is involved, like how is that discussion like facilitated, and like what advice would you give to teams or companies that have this process and would actually want to make it a bit more fluid, I would say?
Mm-hmm. So the feedback process looks like I run through the prototype. I use a product called UX Pen to make interactive prototypes that look and feel much more like the product. So we get a better idea of how the user can interact with it. One of the benefits I see in that is that in enterprise software, because it is so complex, even minor interaction behavior changes can really either help or hinder the user's understanding of the product. And so I think it's really important to show how those interactions occur and how you might change those to foster better understanding. And then during the discussion, we have a pretty open group and everyone is free to render their honest opinion about things, no matter how good or bad they feel it is. And we just go back and forth until we figure out how we might want to do that.
Mm. And with that in mind, how do you conduct like experiments? For enterprise is a bit more, I would say, challenging to do mm-hmm. Experiments. From my experience, a bit more right. Challenging to do experiments at a large scale because it's very high touch. It's very, it's very, you have to hold people's hands through the process a lot of times. How does the process work over there at Jitterbit, where you want to get the right ideas or the right things surfaced, so you know exactly what things to do next?
Mm-hmm. Like you said, experiments are really difficult because there are a lot of security issues around getting a customer. Like, we can't really build the software and then have the customer test it. A lot of the things require a login, and it's really difficult to create an interactive prototype that a customer would just intuitively know. But I do try to come as close as possible, and I will just send a link to a prospective customer or not a prospective, but an existing customer or even internal stakeholder, and just let them know, when you click on the prototype anywhere, it'll show you where the hotspots are and what you can interact with. And so I'll ask them, can you do this task? Ideally be able to watch them walk through it and see if they get stuck, where their points of confusion might be, any issues that they might see in being able to discover things, and just kind of go from there and take lots of notes and often record those sessions and then share it with the rest of the team so everyone can see what the feedback is.
Mm. And what lessons, I would say, have you learned over the last couple of years, or even like since the start of your career in mm-hmm. UX, that you have improved over the years, and like you'd love to see other people in the industry improve on as well?
Sure. Start simple. Test early and often. Race to failure. So you figure out where the mistakes are in your designs early on, so you can iterate faster and get to those points of a failure and confusion on the part of the user. And then also just from a stakeholder perspective, it can often be something that, you know, there's a lot of conflict where, you know, I work with a lot of really smart people. They have very strong opinions. And for the most part, all of us are right in some way or another. And so getting those really strong opinions to the forefront and resolving that conflict early, I think, is really critical to coming up with a good design.
So what's one of the most challenging things that you do at Jitterbit on a daily basis?
I would say it's probably just discovering the details and the depth of the requirements, because the product is so complicated. Sometimes, you know, going through requirements documents can be a challenge to make sure that everything is understood. And you know, it often even takes, you know, several people looking at them to make sure that we're capturing all the details and that we understand how, you know, the balance between, yes, we would love the product to work this way, but it's going to be really expensive to change some of the platform code to make it work. And so kind of balancing that whole business versus user needs versus marketing, all of that stuff, I think is one of the hardest parts.
Got it. And this is my last question here. What's one weakness that you've had? I ask everyone on podcast. What's one weakness that you've turned to your strength?
Sure. One of my biggest weaknesses is that I tend to dive really deeply in trying to understand things. And sometimes I get stuck in that loop of, I can't start designing until I have a complete understanding. And so it kind of delays the progress of design. It can be a strength if you think about, like, just being able to understand those problems in a really thorough way is really helpful, but learning when to stop that. You know, okay, I have enough knowledge, I can start designing. It's a kind of the typical, you know, creative blank canvas problem. Like, I don't know where to start, and so I will kind of procrastinate by digging deeper into the problem. So I feel like I'm, you know, making good use of my time, but in fact, I could probably be doing more design time.
Got it. And I think, like, pretty much that's one thing that like designers and like founding teams kind of have as well. Like, sometimes it's really good, like, when you have like a lot of different points in order to inform your next steps, you know. So on that note, Matt, thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. We learned so much from you in such a short time, and I hope that you have a great day.
Great. Thank you. It was really enjoyable, and it was really very nice meeting you. So
awesome.
Thank you for this opportunity.
No problem. And thanks for listening to the Got 10 Minutes podcast. To stay in touch, follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. Take care. Bye.